Okay. This presentation is to assess potential yields of some selected vegetables and evaluate different management practices for Qatar. Now, I'm not sure how many of you know, but Qatar is a small country and is an oil-rich country, but because of high temperature, less than 100 millimeter annual rainfall, and we can't grow wheat, for example. They need to eat wheat, right? So what they do in terms, that's why my focus is they invest money in other countries, like nearly $500 million in Australia for the wheat and related kind of thing. So, but their vision for 2030 is while they can get those kind of crops, but they need to be self-sufficient if possible for the perishable fresh vegetables, for example, to start with. They do lots of import, but they do grow. So what we are doing is just evaluate some of those vegetables, like, for example, squash and cucumbers, tomatoes. So what we are doing as a team of people internationally, and myself, Samsul Huda from Western Sydney University, leading a project with my colleague from that university, as well as three others from Australia, and three from Qatar University, and one from a commercial farm in Qatar, okay, and two from Canada. This is the kind of team that we have. Now, these are some of the team members and the co-authors for this project. And Qatar is focusing both open field and greenhouse operations, right? So we got a project funded by Qatar National Research Fund to improve food security, and similarly, as I mentioned, the alternative cropping systems feasibility under variable climate, soils, and marketing environments. I'm leading that project. Started in late November, late 2013, goes up to next year. And I just said that we have been using aqua crop model, and some of you would be familiar with that FAO-based model, and to use that model to assess different planting opportunities and management options. The presentation here mostly for Qatar, but we also do for other locations like in Australia, but this is where not only we use that aqua crop, but other models that we're using. Now, aqua crop is very similar, my understanding is, to other models like people are talking about, a DSET, a series based on AppSim, those models. But one of the strong points that we focused for this is we have lots of vegetable crops built in this framework, the aqua crop framework, right? And also, it's a mostly water-driven model, and in Qatar, that's very, very relevant. I think very similar, like I just say, other models that you use, it needs climate information as the daily rainfall, temperature, solar radiation, sunshine hours, and it does calculate evaporation, but if you have evaporation, can be used in the model framework. Crop, as you said, a number of crops modules are available, and we are using some of that for, I just say, squash, cucumber, tomatoes, cauliflowers from that aqua crop menu. But then we are adapting with our own data that we have been collecting for some of the select crops in Qatar. Now, in terms of management, similar again, if we're irrigating, in this case, as you say, very little rainfall, so we irrigate linked with evapotranspiration. So the model has a choice, either give amount irrigation applied or let the model decide, depending on the evaporation rules and linked with the demand rules, it generates automatic irrigation And then field management, the soil types you can change. We did discuss with the local people and some of our colleagues from Australia, and us, we done some soil analysis and used some of the information in this model framework. And we can run the multiple years in this model framework. I'm just showing a couple of results. Now, we've done for 30 years. We can run any number of years, but 1985 to 14, and that's the time period we're showing you. Now, I just said that it's very hard to grow open field without irrigation, but they're quite keen to see the regular supply. And as I said, 2030 vision is they import lots of vegetables from different countries, but their vision is to regularly supply domestically possible, okay? And so the demand's driven. So you have another part of this work that you do, the consumer preferences of different vegetables throughout the year. But most important is the price, or you know that, I think. In terms of those different planting times, September, December, March, and June, they like to have a throughout the year supply of vegetables, right? So the model generates that even with a higher water use efficiency figure, the 54 gram per meter square, as mostly higher water improved water use efficiency systems, I've seen the farmers, they're using flood irrigation and a lot of wastage of water there, okay? But this situation represents to the site, the farm, commercial farm that you're working with. And so you get about 23 tons of mean yield, September, December, and March planting times. But in June planting, you get nearly 8 tons yield. But this is one story. The other part of the story is irrigation or water. So for the September, to get about that 23 tons of yield, you get 500 millimeter water, 540, but go to March, it requires nearly 800 millimeter water, okay? And really in June, similar sort of thing, but the average is much lower here, okay? Just concentrate that those two things, like the efficiency system of irrigation water use, it's not that good. As you said, a lot of water getting wasted there. So in that situation, the model simulates about 16 tons mean yield for September, December, and March planting, and June, of course, low, with a similar sort of irrigation requirements. The point is that efficiency system, the water, okay, use. For this kind of situation, as the farmer, regular farm that we have, they get about 8 tons on average from the data that I've seen. September, December, and March planting in June, very, very low. Similar sort of water requirement, but wastage of a lot of water there. Now, this is a story to show about some variability between years. That is the mean and median figure that I showed in previous slides. Now, for 30 years, if we plant in September, the mean yield, and there's nothing much difference between maximum and minimum yield, because you say, oh, other point I should mention in the other slide, the rainfall figure that we got, it's only almost 18. If there's an rain, it's 10, 20 kind of millimeter rainfall that you get during the growing season. So all are irrigated, basically. The range that we are showing here, look at the irrigation requirement. One is the yield variation. There's not much variation between in September planting, but the amount of irrigation requirement is quite varied. The lower yield, when you get even if some years, to get on this kind of yield, you get still like to apply more than 400 millimeter water. And that's the point, okay? Look at then December planting. Similar sort of maximum yield, minimum yield, but there is a range, the maximum to get the higher yield, the bit more water need to be applied there. March planting, even if the high irrigation amount, applied, you can't get much yield. It's basically vapor pressure deficit. Some of those were high temperature. Now, the point is, you can't grow much of this crop. So the question then comes, they're asking us, what can you do in those months, let's say June, July, if for some reason there is a problem to get fresh vegetables from the neighboring countries, what and how they are going to sustain the populations that is increasing. Their population is increasing, not their own, but I think my understanding is 250,000 Qataris, but there are about 2 million, more than 2 million people that are working there, right? And that's increasing. So I think the government and the people over there are concerned what can be done. They know that they're very harsh, dry environments, but they are looking for some of the numbers and what sorts of crops can be grown. Now, can we compare that to the price thing? So I'm not presenting those data now, that if we, instead of squash on this pine, what other vegetables can be grown with similar sort of water and maximize the water use efficiency and that kind of figure. So this is what part of the work that we are doing. So I think this is showing that even if the poor water management system, so one of the things, those of you who might have visited that part of the world, so much of water just being wasted, okay, in producing the crop. This another story is just a water story. The other story is nitrogen or fertilizer, nutrition. If you're talking about not only food amount, but quality, not the quantity, but the quality of the food. But one of the little story that we are showing here, we use some international plant nutrition institute calculator to get that 20 tons of fresh weight for the squash. They calculate about 200 kilograms of nitrogen taken up, to be taken up. Okay? And then this partitioning is about, 60% or so, I think, goes to the leaf, above ground biomass. So the point are two points from this slide. One, to get that 20 tons of yield, not only you apply enough water, but you need to have enough of nutrition. Now, what I have seen there, some of the farmers, they just dump the fertilizer there. So either they're not applying enough or they're dumping. That creates more sort of environmental pollution, all that issue. So this kind of approach, they need to know that how much nitrogen should be applied and when. Plus, this above this bit of nitrogen being taken up by the fruits, but this amount almost will be left over the soil. So here's the soil management, land management options, whether or not they could incorporate some of those nitrogen that's above ground biomass to go into the soil management aspect. That's the point I'm trying to mention there. So in short, is we looked at two different planting times. The September and December sounds to the optimum planting. March planting, similar yield, but needs more water. And June planting is not practicable, as yields are highly variable between years and requiring more water there. Look into the yield gap analysis. And the farmer's yield that we've been reported by Qatar Department of Agriculture for the squash, of the two cycles, is 16 tons per hectare, and which represents that poor management option that we have showed to you one of the slides, right? That represents there. The commercial farm like SAIC that we're working with, they report 30 tons per hectare upon two cycles, no more. So, and then potential yields through the aqua crop that you can simulate is more than 30 tons per hectare. So the question is, the bridging this gap between what the farmers are currently getting, what a commercial farm is getting, and what the potential, the model suggests. So this is the management options that we are doing and working with the, they have a extension department, but there's also dying of the department. So people are concerned how to take some of the science to the people and the networking and collaborative aspects. And this is a part of this requirement of Qatar Foundation that we say that this particular project is funded by Qatar Foundation. And these are my collaborating institutions working with.
Thank you. Thank you.